So first of all, did you know that it's a good day to die? Seriously, it's a good day to die. And in a sense, when you heard what the Spirit of God was saying, when you heard what Dottie, the word that she shared with us, specifically the word about the sweeping, okay, and into the closet. See, this is what happens to us as Christians. We come to Jesus. We're excited about that. We have new birth. We have the assurance of heaven. We say, okay, I believe in the Lord. I'm going to heaven. And then we kind of wander about. We might attend Bible studies. Nothing. We might have some fellowship in churches. Some of us quickly forget that we need to come and we need to work together, that we should not forsake our assembling together. And quite frankly, for most of the churches, I want to just say that, hey, COVID is over. The rats have been outed. It's time to come back and fellowship together on a Sunday morning. Amen. Now, boy, that was really weak. Okay, let's try this again. COVID is real, but COVID, you don't need to be intimidated by any kind of a flu or a disease. Wash your hands. Stay clean. Don't sneeze on somebody else. Be a decent person. You'll be fine, all right? I can't believe, and I never heard of a time in all of the years that I have been a pastor and I have served God, that church was shut down because of a sickness. You come to church to get healed. You follow me? The blood of Jesus, he died for our healing. And here we are hiding and preventing people from coming to the place where healing is. No more. As you know, we didn't adhere by the rules here. We did very briefly, but once we were able to read the information ourselves, we were open for business. A lot of people. So let's go on here. A good day to die. Now, in fact, the truth is that every day is a good day to die. I want you to know that. I'm going to just stay on track right now. We're going to move. I've got 7 pages here. I'm 1/4 of 1 page down. So I'm going to move fast, all right? Praise God. All right. So it's a good day to die. To die on the cross. See, we're supposed to die on a cross, and we should be doing that. That vision, or the picture that Dottie painted, is what happens. Instead of us dying, we sweep this stuff in the corner, and we never fully change. We have these same negative things going on in our life because we haven't let God clean them out. We need to let him clean that out. And the only way to do that is to die. It's to die to self, what we're talking about. Now, I want to tell you this. It might not sound like dying is easy. In fact, every true disciple should pick up his cross daily and continue as we continue our journey with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what that cross is. In other words, we're on a journey with Jesus. We're going to get into this in depth in a moment. But I want you to figure this out. Why has Jesus invited us? Why would he call us and say, come, anyone who wants to come after me, let him pick up his cross daily and come follow me, actually. So I go to my Bible and I'm looking at the certain scriptures on discipleship in Luke 9 and in Matthew 16 and in Mark 8. And as I read the passage, it says here, the real cost of discipleship, they put a heading on it, the real cost of discipleship. Now, I want you to think about that. There's nothing wrong with that heading, but it's misleading. What it intends to say here is like almost, well, you know, this is really going to cost you. It's going to be a lot of work, whatever you're thinking of. I went and read that scripture again, and I came to a different conclusion, and I kind of rephrased it. I looked at it, and I said, looked at this, and I said, you know what? I think a more accurate heading for that scripture would have been the blessings of discipleship are for everyone that picks up and follows. So what are the blessings of discipleship? Well, let's look at Luke 9, verse 23. We've preached on this a couple of weeks ago, but then again, he said to all of them, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Well, do you want to lose your life or do you want to save it? So is it a negative or is it a positive? Hello, it's a positive. We gain our life by doing. We don't lose it. We lose our life, but we gain a life that's better. You want to think of it that way. And he goes on to say this, For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and himself is destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes with his Father and his Holy Spirit. That's an amazing verse. I wonder how many are going to be because we denied God, who hidden light in the world. Now, Jesus invites everyone, go through that verse. He invites everyone who desires to follow him to go on a journey with him. You are invited. You are invited. And that's what Pastor Kevin talking about, making this commitment to the Lord to recommit yourself if necessary. Right on. Why? Because you have to make this journey daily. This whole idea of, well, I'm all set, I prayed this prayer, I've got my ticket to heaven. By the time I'm done today, that ticket to heaven's going to look pretty worn out on for some of us. And the printing on that's going to look pretty light. And why is that? Because the ticket was an entrance into the kingdom of God and an entrance into eternal life. It was an entrance into something that you are to continue in every day. So the only things that you need to go on this journey, I love it. He's inviting you. Your desire and your cross. Desire to be with Jesus and one's personal cross, all that's needed. He didn't tell you to pack this, do that. There's no big list here. Just come on. You want to come and just take your cross with it. It'll all work out in the end. So what are we given now? We're talking about blessings of discipleship. We're given the privilege of close fellowship with Jesus and great fellow disciples that are walking together in this life. Well, I want to tell you, I've got to be very careful because I can go off on this. The blessings that I have had, just seeing some of you today, knowing some of the things that we have been through, over the things that we have seen, the things where we have had pain, where we've gone through trials and lost loved ones and gone through all of these different things and hung in there and been there for one another and loved one another, you can't buy. That's something that only can come through the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm privileged to be able to be even a member of this community. Second, this daily journey is going to save our life. And again, all we need to do is trust and obey. That's it. Trust and obey. Walk with Jesus and obey. Now, what's going to happen? Well, we'll get into that. And as we joyfully, but at times tearfully, let our cross be for its intended purpose, we will become more like Jesus. Now, here we will become more like Jesus. I'm going to say something to be shocking, but that's the heart. Your salvation is to this world experience. And the more you're like him, the brighter you shine. A little incident comes to me, but I'm not going to go, you're saved. So that's the whole purpose. If I were to say to you, that's why we on our website, it's pretty simple. What are we here to do? We're here to make disciples. What's a disciple? A person that loves God, loves his neighbor, and is making a disciple. But what do we say? That we, each of us be formed, that we never cease to labor until Christ be, and that to that degree, that's the thing that we work to, that we might present every complete, that's it. Now, when you do that, wherever you are, whether you are in a position in government, or you're a storekeeper, or you're a housewife, or you're a mom, or your dad, this is what you're doing every day. You're presenting Christ to your children, to one another. You're reflecting him. That's what you're doing. You're seasoning this world. You're making it better. And you know, I will tell you this little incident. It's just so strange. I walk into a Lowe's, and as I go into the Lowe's, the door, there's a woman that comes in, and I didn't notice her at first, but about the same time I did. And we stood there, and there were no baskets. And I looked down, and then she looked at me. She said, well, look at the baskets. They're in the dark. I said, well, I guess we ought to go get one. So we start walking together. She says, this is, you know, I said, I just want you to know I feel much safer with you. And she just chuckled. So we got to the baskets. We pulled them out, and then we went through this whole little routine where she showed me. She said, well, I got to get a right turn basket. And I don't want to go through all that, but they either turn right or left and pulling on your arm. And so we get out. So we come out of there, and she says, where are you going? Now, she's about, I'd say, 36, 7, someplace, 45. She could have been 60, but I wouldn't know the difference, all right? So she says to me, where are you going? I said, I got some And she's just standing. She's staring. And she came and gave me a proper. And it's just a connection you make because something. Now, you do know I'm 83. It's okay for a year-old lady to hug me. You understand that, right? I just want. So again, as we follow Jesus, again, we have more peace within ourselves on this journey. We're blessing to others. And if anyone desires to come after me, it's a volunteer situation. Next, as we follow Jesus, we experience new adventures. Just think about Conrad and the other guys here. The adventures that we had in Christ, going to different places, preaching, seeing God work, all kinds of different things that happened over the years. I mean, it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. And we're still having that experience. It doesn't end if you keep getting up daily and carrying that cross and walking with the Lord. It doesn't end. And I guess our lives will be a testimony to the love and the faith of Jesus Christ. He'll not be ashamed. And he'll come in his own glory, and he will come with us. So now what we need to do, we need to take up that cross daily and follow him. So what is this cross? You don't mind. What is this cross we're talking about? First of all, the sin of death. This is not something that you hang around your neck. It's not somebody else or trial that you might be going. This cross that, and it's a you, because you see, people will say, well, you take the cross, and nobody, you can't crucify yourself. Yes, you remember, this is a volunteer journey that we've started on, and it's a volunteer cross. It's our cross. We decided to make this journey, and because we're talking about spiritual things, we are well able to hang on this cross ourselves. Hello? I don't need three people here to hold me down and nail me to the cross. That's not what we're talking about. Jesus already took that punishment. He went through that, so I don't have to. So the cross is, again, it's for physical death, but we're not talking, as I said, about physical. But why must we die? Sin. Sin is why we must die. And why do we have sin? Because we have flesh. We're flesh and bones. We have lust. We have temptation. Sin is always trying to get us. The devil's always trying to move us away from. He's trying to destroy our home. He's trying to make us sick. He's trying to kill us. He's trying to take our joy. You're in a real fight. This is, you know, this life is one where you are engaged in warfare. And sometimes it gets difficult. It moves over into the physical realm. But it's the way it is. But what's the cause? Sin. The fall of man, to begin with. We can move on to that, but that's what it is. So again, we all, you know, it reminds me about this. I want to say this about sin. Don't take it lightly. Do not take sin lightly. I once had this young man, he came to me, and I asked him how he was doing in God, because a counseling we had. And he said, oh, I'm doing well. I know the word. You know, I know. I said, well, what about sin? What's your life like? Oh, he said, we sin a little, you know, and think, you probably do. If you want to think about it, if what Jesus says is, of course it is, if it's not just the lust of the act of doing something, but the thought of something, then our thoughts can be sin. Or so we can sin physically, we can do the wrong thing, commit a harm to someone, adultery, we can do a lot of different things. We can lust. And by lust is the lust of life. I want you to know that. That's why the flesh is so powerful. We want things. And then we want more and we want more. And it's always pushing us in a direction here that's taking us away from God. The material world is a thing that's concerned. And we don't realize. We just go along for the ride, and we're resisting it. And then so he said to me, we sin a little. So that was the words of a professing believer considering themselves a solid. Yeah, they were telling me, we're good with God. I was to discover years later that the same individual was a liar, they were a thief, and they were a spouse of, they beat their wife. This same person that's telling me, oh, we sin a little each day, right? I'm telling you right now. Now tell me something. Would you want to be found beating your wife when Jesus returns? How about beating your husband? You follow what I'm saying to you? In other words, how you live is the difference. But if you don't have control, the spirit doesn't have control over, then you're walking a line that you be careful. Well, Don't you know, Pastor, we believe in eternal salvation, we're saved. I'm going to right now. I had a guy say to me, a man that God worked many miracles, he said, you know, Brother Ron, you really got to get your theology straight. We have eternal security. I have it. So do you. But where's our security? Is it in a prayer that we made or in a change that came into our life? Or is our security the one person, Jesus Christ, who just invited us to go on a journey with him? I want you to think about it. When you come to Christ, you don't stop believing. We believe in him for our whole life. We walk with him for our whole life. And we make this thing like something you'd one day and another. Very dangerous. You'll see this. And I'm not really making a big, I'm just telling you, be careful. Don't be, you know, about, oh yeah, no big deal. Believe me. And here's this guy comes to me, and I'm telling you, I know God's word. And meanwhile, he's telling me, you know what, Brother Ron? You can commit adultery. You can be a murderer. You can take drugs. You can go. He goes on with this whole list of horrible, horrible crimes, literally. And he says, and you still doesn't change. Really? This is what happens when you take something to an extreme, of course, right? But this literally is some of the that you have. And again, we look at this. So let's take a look at this. Simon Peter, bondservant and apostle of the Lord Jesus, to those who have received the faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, grace and peace be multiplied to you. What's he want to multiply to us? In the knowledge of God. And he goes on to say this. Seeing that, in verse 3, 2 Peter chapter 1, seeing that his divine power is what God gave him again, his spirit will actually, the Father came. But if you really understand it, he dwells in us by the Spirit of God and the baptism. Well, I will tell you this, let's just an anointing in your life. But Jesus was never, never without the Spirit. So he says here, this is what came into it. So he says, our divine power has granted to what? Everything pertaining to life. And what's the next thing? Can you say it? Godliness, right, okay? Through the true knowledge of him, knowing him intimately. This is not, well, I know about knowing him, who did what? Called us by his own self. We couldn't have had a better pre-teaching than what we had. Right on, Spirit of God, right on. Nobody planned that. That's not planned. That's what the Spirit of God did. And I thank the team for just being able to flow into that. And then he goes on to say this, for by these, that is his own glory and excellence, he's granted to us his precious and what magnificent, what? Promises, right? So that by them we might become partakers of the divine nature. So wait a minute. He's talking to people who have a like faith of his own. Am I not right? Talking to those, it's addressed to people who have those who have a like faith to his own. And what is he saying to them? He's saying to them that basically these promises are given to you that you have partakers of the divine nature, all right? Having escaped the corruption that's in the world by what? Lust. Lust is, you know, that's what I'm talking about. Lust, we only in sexual connotation, but that's not how that works. We can lust after. And so now as we see here that, again, that we need to do something about these. And what does he say to? We have escaped the corruption in that world. Now, for this very reason, now here, I'm going to just look at this, folks. I'm using the New American Standard. I've checked it out in the original language, and this is what it should say in all of your Bibles. Also applying all diligence in your what? Faith. In your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, notice, knowledge. In your knowledge, self-control. In your self-control, perseverance. In your perseverance, godliness. In your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For, now watch this verse here, if these qualities are yours, if these are yours, and are increased, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful true knowledge of our Lord. Do you realize you can be a use? Think about it. You can say, I love Lord, I praise him, I come. Why? Because you're not to the image of God. You're not letting God change you. You're not letting him, you reflect him to the world around. And verse 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 9 says, notice this, For he who lacks these qualities, what qualities? You just went down it. Moral excellence. You know, moral excellence, the corruption, escaping the corruption of this world, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, all of these different things, brotherly kindness. If these, you don't have these things, here's what he's saying. For he who lacks these qualities is what? Blind, short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent. Be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling. For as long as you do what? Let's hear it. Can you read it? As long as you practice these things. What is practice? It's like Joanne on the keyboard over here, you know? She's playing it. Practice, practice, practice. You go through the keys. You go through the keys. You strum your guitar. You practice. You practice throwing the ball or whatever it may be that you do. You practice. You're doing something. You're active. You're practicing. And then he goes on to say, if you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly. So what are these things that are being perfected at this? First of all, you need to set your mind to have them. You need to say, you know what? I'm going to walk differently. I made a commitment today. I'm going to walk in that commitment. I'm going to act differently now. I'm not just going to be a lazy. I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to take turn off the stupid TV. I'm going to do this or whatever else I might have to do in this. Take time. Put it out there. Spend time with God. Different things. And then it says, another thing, exercise the same faith. How do you do what you had? You do that, what happened? Jesus came into you, you changed. The same thing happens here. I wish it, but in some cases, what's that clock of? Is it that how much time I have or how much time I've been speaking or what? It's not right. The first time I look at the clock since I'm back and now it's not right. I'm sorry about that, folks. And we'll take this little intermission, just refresh our brains and get back into the God here. So, what if these are not perfected? It's your mind to change. Exercise the same faith as we. It may be different, but the Lord, the Spirit, will change. He'll get that out. He does that. He'll work it out. It's hard. Sometimes you're fighting this thing. It's a fight of faith, holding fast. It's not, and you have to remember that. Because you see, you're called to freedom according to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. You were called to freedom, brethren, but do not turn into an opportunity for flesh. For through love, serve one another. Notice again, you have action that you have with God and with. And then he goes on to say, for the in this state, your neighbor, if you think it's. But if you bite and devour one another, take care. So freedom from bondage, full thing. It frees. You know, I don't have. Why? Because God's put them in. He's changed. His Spirit leads me. And sometimes do I make a mistake? I make a mistake, but it's been covered by the blood. I can confess it, repent, turn. But I look at this freedom that way. It frees me to be the person that Christ has. That's all I'm saying. You need Pastor Ron Tannarello or whoever else tells you you need to be, but what God called you to be. And he calls you to be like his son Jesus. He calls you to love your wife. He calls you to love your children and love them properly. He calls you to work in a manner that is respectful, that gives honor to the person that employs you or service to the people that apply your service to. It's a simple, really think about. It's about honesty. It's about integrity. It's about doing. And again, that's how it is. I love God, love my neighbor, and I have peace. That is with all people that are willing. Some people just don't want peace. There's a time when that's just the way it is. Now, let me say this. If I permit the desires of the flesh to direct, I'm going to find myself in conflict with God and with others. And that's very clear in Galatians. True disciple. And I'm going to just put it to you that way. Because everybody thinks certain ways about themselves. You know what? I'm a man that's on a journey. And I have not arrived yet. And this journey is exciting. And some days it's just not easy. And some things you have to face and fight for, they're not easy. And they're emotional at times, especially with a loved one. Or you're dealing with something that you've been hanging on to so long and making it live the life that you want to live because you have an out. This happened or that happened. Something happened to all of us that was not pleasant. We got to stop the. That's it. So Christ provides the. And I want you to think about this. Well, we're getting close. Hey, you know, I can stop here and continue this next week. I have to tell you that what I'd like to really speak is how to live. You know, if I can teach you how to die, then we can teach each other how to live. In other words, how to take this stuff and put it into action in our life. But let's just, I've got you here. You can't go anywhere, or you can walk. Praise God. I hope the. So he says, first of all, let this mind be in you, so in Christ Jesus. Now notice, this is a whole message. And the Greek word kinesis. So what happens now? You have Jesus and the Son of God. He's in heaven. What's he look like? But he's of the same essence as his Father. What does the Father look like? I'm not going to get to know. Think about that. I can have a set of rules from heaven, but I don't get to know. And so what happens there? There's a conversation in heaven that takes place. Who shall we send? Jesus says, I'll go. We made these people. We love these people. They're dying without us. Somebody's got to redeem them. We got to purchase them back. They were made for us, but sin has taken them away from us. And now they're stuck in their sin and they can't get. None of them can be good enough. So, Father, he's in every place at one time. He knows all things. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He has all power. He's it down and comes down. He humbled him. Then after that, he'd be a great man. He could have been a king. He was a king. He could have ruled over the whole world and judged everybody at that point in time, but he didn't come for that reason. He didn't come to judge us. He came to save us. Comes down and he pulls himself to death. Now, therefore, for that reason, God highly and given him a name, which is every name. Now, remember I said it's a good day to die? Jesus' death, you have life. Realize that when we die to self, the self-life, when it's not all about us, that the people around us are blessed, that we become a blessing to them. I mean, just think about this. Look at all the conflicts that could be ended if it wasn't all about us. And that's what it means to die to self, is that part of us, that flesh, that lust, oh, me, that's got to go. And so finally, you see him exalted. And in 1 Peter chapter 25, you see that he himself, he committed no sin. Now, this is important because this is how you die. Now, remember this. Just think. And now they've arrested him. They've questioned. They've punched him. They've turned him over. Romans, they've mocked him. They spit on him. They crowned him with thorns and they beat those thorns in with this reed on his head. They took him and then they took the skin off of his back, little would die of that. And then they put it, he had to carry this, the beam of the cross, carry that, and carry it for his own death. He had to carry. And then he's carrying that cross, and they're mocking him. Oh, you said you were the God. You said this. Yeah, go. You're nobody. You're a nothing. You're just a sinner. That's what you. And all of this stuff is being. You know who he is? He's the Son of God. Do you know what he can do? He can change. He can change it all in an instant. Do you not know, Peter? Put up your sword. There's 7 legions of angels, 144,000 angels ready to come and take care of all of these different people and make the world. But then none of us. See, this is the problem when we get close to something. God shows us something and we say, this has got to go. And then we get down with God and we're fighting this fight and it's got to go, but it's got to go. And then you know what happens? Well, you know what? Remember, it's a volunteer cross. You know what? Oh, my friend is not responding like they should. I think I've had enough of this here. I'm just going to do my thing and protect myself. And then what I'm saying to you is we run from the cross. We sweep it into the corner. Why? Because it's hard to die. But let me tell you something. If you die, you'd be a better person. Take my word. I've never come out of this worse off. Always come out better. So what happens to us? His death, as I said, brings us. He bore our sins, his own body on the tree, that we would die to sin, live to righteousness. By his stripes we. And his example shows us, in the terms, in theological terms, it's a battle called flesh versus spirit, at capital F. It's the sorax pneuma battle. The flesh wants to do one thing and the spirit wants to direct us in another way. Now our choice is, because we have the ability, we have the power, we have the Spirit of God within us, we can obey. We've been freed from the power of sin. We have authority over sin. We have authority over the devil. But unless you use the authority, it doesn't work. Hello? You need to use what you have and put it to work in your confession. In your believing, in your holding fast to Jesus until that thing dies. And when it dies, there's a new John that arises, or Peter, or Paul, or whoever it may be that needs to come up. I mean, this is how it works. It's not easy. So it takes, in this battle of the sorax and pneuma, faith, flesh, and the spirit, it takes a commitment, long suffering. I'm just telling you what the scripture says. Listen to this. Hebrews 12 and verse 3. What do you think about this? I love it. I really don't, but I endure it. Notice what it says. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against him, lest you become weary and discouraged in this verse. What does it say? Can you read it all together? That's right. You have not yet reached to bloodshed. So we'll close with team. What are we called to do? It would really walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 and verse. But I say walk by the Spirit. You'll not carry desires. And that's what we, you know this ahead of time. You need to make some. Only do it the same way that Jesus did. We can invite. You say, hey, you can be. You can participate. We'll figure out which with where. Doing something that will work to change our life, but be able to get together. Because some of us, sometimes, and then we'll go on to that, finish that passage. But again, it's one thing you can never say, the devil may. Hello? That doesn't fly. God's not going to hear you. I'm not going to hear you. Nobody's going to hear you. You might be able to get away with it. You might try. Lord, the one you gave me, the one that. But that's not going to fly either. Let's stand together. Of course. Of course it is. Praise the Lord. So again, we're going to be talking about putting on Christ and how to receive. And we fight again. I hope you're blessed today.